Thank you very much, Bernie, for the intro. You know, ultimately, I'm actually just kind of a bit of a random guy. I'm only here really this morning because I started praying a few years ago because I could see that there wasn't, you know, I could see the prophetic, but then I couldn't quite see the prophetic how Jesus did it. Very profound, to the point and very loving. And I looked around for a good mentor, couldn't find a good mentor, and had this encounter with God at night where he just said, "Look, I'll be your teacher." And suddenly it was that revelation of, oh yeah, of course. Jesus was a teacher, so he's going to be the best teacher, so I don't need to worry. And so my prayer was that God would take me on a journey in the prophetic to go really deep, so that I could serve other people. And he has, you know, been faithful, I think, in that journey, and I'm still on it. I would definitely say that. So this, you know, we're talking about prophesying like Jesus, and that's a very lofty ambition. I think everybody, and you may come today with mixed feelings about the prophetic. So you might be feeling, I'm all in. You might be feeling, if you're expressing it in an emoji, eye roll. you might be feeling, I once was in, but now I don't know, because I just found it really difficult. So hopefully this seminar will serve you well and help you on your journey with the prophetic. So I wanted us to just ground us in what the prophetic might be, so that we're kind of all on the same page. So I like to define the prophetic quite widely. So it's a set of revelatory gifts that helps us understand the heart of God, the now word of God, and his unknown intentions or plans for us. So it might incorporate words of knowledge, wisdom, tongues, and interpretation, and then what we might, you know, really recognize as prophecy more commonly. It's a broad church of kind of, so when we say gifts, it's kind of gifts almost. And I want us to think about, why is it important? Really the prophetic is a serving gift in the church. So it's not like a thing in itself. And I think if we think it's a thing in itself, then that leads us into a problematic area. It's there to serve the other Ephesian 4 gifts. So it serves the apostolic in church building. It serves the evangelist in revealing the unknown and connecting people to Jesus. It serves the pastor, teacher, diagnosing heart issues and creating the openings for the truth to correct heart issues. So I quite often look at the prophetic, there's like no division between the prophetic, the scriptures, the gospel. We don't have tribes. You're like, it's not like that at all. So I'll give you an example. I had a real faith crisis. Basically, no, I believed in God. I lost faith in church, and I was really struggling. It was just all too hard. And it happened to coincide when I pitched up at Mosaic. And so this was week 2 for me at Mosaic. So we came week 1 and it was, you know, lovely welcome, people super kind. I walked through the door, Martin, love him, just came up to me, goes, "Ian, why are you here just for your wife and kids?" And it was a real, like, it was a prophetic statement. I don't think even Martin, perhaps on reflection, he wouldn't have thought it was so, be so bold to say that, but he just said it. And I went into the auditorium where we were gathering, and we were in worship, and I pretended I had hay fever, but I was crying. And Ed Mellish preached the gospel, just straight the gospel. And all my, I get emotional because all my preconceptions about God and how he just tolerated me just broke in that moment. And then Simon, who's one of our elders and a real pastor type, swept up the weeping wreck at the end and prayed for me and just loved me and just prayed through it all. That's the prophetic, the gospel, teaching and pastoring all coming together in a mixture that takes somebody who was really broken to a different place. And that's what, that's the importance of the prophetic in that mix, you know? So, why do we need to create a healthy culture around the prophetic? So, we see a lot of bad models, actually. So at one end of the spectrum, there's wild and wacky cliches we see maybe in the US evangelical scene. So it's what I call Harry Potter prophetic. It distorts the biblical model that we see in the Bible, which is the biblical model. And then at the other end, it's like any blessed thought that is remotely kind of good is entertained as the prophetic. And it's what I call many a muckle makes a muckle. You know, somebody will come up and just say something and it's entertained as a prophetic. Both dilute. Both distort and dilute the gift. And we need to create a healthy culture modeled around Jesus so that we don't fall into either of those traps. But there is a radical middle ground. And where the prophetic is beautiful and it transforms and it nurtures and it brings life and direction. And when the prophetic is done well, everything can change in a minute. And probably many of you recognize that. Sometimes we see poor manners and clumsiness around people, and it's excused as, they're just prophetic. Not okay, friends. Okay. that's not okay. Sometimes we see, with the best of intention, a lack of specificity. So it comes across as like playing the odds. So if I said in the room, I feel somebody's got pain, I'm sure somebody in this room's got pain. Yeah. Now, actually, God may be saying, there's somebody in the room with pain that needs healing, but because I didn't invest some time with God to find out a bit more specificity, which I can't say, I'm going to lose, it discredits and it dilutes what could be a very important moment for that person. And we see a little bit of a lack of diversity with the gift. So I would put this as, you know, the gift can be, it's not just a picture and an interpretation. That's not just what the prophetic looks like. And especially just doing that on the Sunday morning, you know, the breadth doesn't really get encouraged or nurtured. And I think I'm still exploring what that means in practice. I mean, when you look in the Bible, there's all sorts of bonkers stuff going on in the Bible around the prophetic, and it is, you know, sometimes a little jarring. And I'm not suggesting, you know, we need to be marrying women of ill repute and calling our children repulsive names as a prophetic outpouring to the nation. But we need to, within the bounds of Scripture, open our minds a little bit, because the context isn't going to be just a Sunday. It should be much wider than that. It's at all times. So when you're thinking about this, how many times in your church is a prophetic gift used in small groups, or in a one-to-one, or in the workplace, or at home, or in an inter-church context? So, so I want to just move on to what can we do then to foster this healthy prophetic culture within church? And this is where prophesying like Jesus comes in. Because when you see Jesus, he's not condemning, he's loving. You see that woman in the well. He doesn't go to the obvious, because you see that when the man was lowered down through the ceiling, Jesus saw that it was his sin that was crushing him, not his infirmity. And he didn't seek to be known on the road to Emmaus, but he revealed the scriptures. And so prophesying like Jesus is very different. And there are some practical things that we can do to change how we prophesy and make it more like Jesus, I believe. And I'm going to humbly walk through those. But first of all, I just want Bernie to read us 1 Corinthians 13. And forgive, you might think you've come to a wedding. That's not the case. But this scripture is fundamentally about the prophetic.
I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, they will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
And I've got Bernie to read the entirety of that passage, because I see this as like a peeling back. You know, if you peel back, you know, bits of the prophetic, you know, maybe the picture, and if you peel back the words, what should you find right at the core? If all that's kind of passed away, what would you find? And it should be love and hope and faith. That should be the very core of it. And so if you're, so, and it might not be all three, but it should always have love, because God is love, and it should always come from a place of love. And it may combo up with to hope or to faith, or it may be all three. And it's so often when, you know, somebody says, could you pray for this situation and hear, see what God has for this situation or something, my first go-to is, Jesus, help me to love them like you do. Because if I can't love them and understand them, then it's very difficult to prophesy into that situation. And for me personally, that's quite often an emotional experience. I get quite emotional when I touch and connect into God's heart. Not for everyone, but for me personally. But I think everybody needs to go on that journey. It influences everything. So it influences what you hear, and it influences how you deliver it. And if you don't have that centering and compass around love, then it's very difficult for you to do either of those in a kind and clear way. So the second thing I would recommend to foster a healthy culture in the prophetic is what I call fostering conversation and not a moment. So quite often we get something from God and it's on a Sunday morning and which is not wrong, and we're like excited puppies, straight to the front, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, some of the content that God wanted to bring in that is lost. And so what I would encourage us to do is foster conversation with God. So when God speaks to us, normally it's an opening for 10. It's an opening and a conversation. It's like if Bernie said to me like, hello, I don't race around and go, yes, she said hello, whoa!
Why?
Although I'm very thrilled, Bernie. And then I never get to hear what she actually came to say hello and what she wanted to say to me. And it can be like that with God. God has such riches, such deep plans to reveal to us. And yet sometimes we run away with just the opening couple of words. And not always, because sometimes, I think you've got a broken leg. Somebody here has got a broken leg and it's healed not right and God wants to heal it. That's just a word of knowledge and it's very clear, maybe not sitting on that and developing that. Although you could ask, who is it for? Show me the person. There doesn't need a lot of conversation, but vast majority of, I think, what we hear, God's just dying to open a rich conversation with us. So it kind of moves really onto my next point, which is about if you're involved in weighing prophecy, or if you're involved in leading churches or hosting, and some of you may be here and some of you may not, okay, I would encourage you to mature and not dismiss. So, and there may be some of you that have been on the end of a dismissed, and I used to call the walk of shame. So you would go up to the front and then it got kind of dismissed, and then you walk back. And then you had this crushing feeling that everybody was looking about you and said, like, it wasn't on point, which is not necessarily the case at all. So we need to create this culture around the prophetic where there isn't a walk of shame, because people are free to come and go in our, around in our congregations, sharing what God's done, and the host is and the leadership are free to kind of to bring that together and serve the people well. And so one of our leaders in Mosaic, Tom, always puts it in this really lovely way, which is, if you've got anything that God's put on your heart this morning, come and share it with me and we can find the best way to serve our people more broadly. And it's such a gentle way, because the best way may not be to share it from the front. The best way may be to go to the person, or the best way may be to share it with the leadership, because it's going to serve the church better in the leadership context. So having that openness to go gently is really super important. And the second thing is around when somebody kind of brings something and it's, you know, what I call maybe an immature word, and maybe immature is not right, maybe unripe is a better word. So unripe words are words where somebody definitely heard God, but it lacks some of the key things. So it's not really specific, it's not clear. They may be too focused on sort of like the picture part and not on what God is saying. And also it may be that there's no application at all. So not every word needs an application. Sometimes that's served by someone praying or something. But generally, there should be some sort of action. God's telling us, he's sharing something with us for us to do something or to be something, or there's got to be something attached to it. So those are kind of hallmarks of what I call unripe words. And instead of kind of dismissing an unripe word, we need to help the person bringing the prophetic ripen it. And so, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the host. You could do this with somebody that just says, I've got a word, can I go up? You can do it. It's really easy. It's just about asking questions. So questions I would suggest asking are, God, could you explain, reveal to me this aspect of the word? Because I don't understand. God, could you give me a scripture that aligns with this prophetic word? God, could you give me the right way to share this in timing or in the way I share it? And God, could you give me the right application? Who is this for specifically? And, you know, there's probably some other questions. And, you know, God is really faithful to just answer all of those questions. You'll find, and my experience is, that when I've asked those questions, God is more than delighted to answer them. Because he's so, so desperate to connect with people. The parable of the lost sheep, there's so many parables, but the parable of the lost sheep, I always just feel it is so fundamentally connected to how God's heart works. Because it's like fundamentally like a little sum up of the gospel, isn't it? Actually, God did everything, absolutely everything, to bring us back into relationship. And really, we should have been just dismissed as an inconvenience to him. But having us in community with him meant so much to him. The other thing I would encourage is, encourage people to trust like a child. And you may think, really quite an odd thing to say, but when my kids were small, if I said to them, you know, trees are green because of chlorophyll, and they would absolutely believe me, which that's a true statement anyway, but they believe what I would say. And, but we can often get to the place with the prophetic where we play head games. And people play head games. So they overanalyze. So they dismiss stuff that God is saying on one hand. And on the other hand, they add a bit to kind of rationalize. Both are not healthy. And you may have been in meetings, or you may have been in situations where that adding on to a prophetic word has happened. And it's a really dangerous place to go as somebody giving a prophetic word. It generally undermines. But people that are unconfident with the gift or new to the gift, they quite often dismiss. Oh, that's not, God's not really talking to me. Or they might say, because I heard God in a different way to a picture on a Sunday, that's not God speaking. So somebody came to me and they said, I always hear God through the scriptures. Or always hear him through the scriptures. And I was like, yeah, but that's like a prophetic message. When you talk out of the scriptures and you're speaking a prophetic message into the church, that's how God speaks to you. You know, what better way out of the scriptures? I mean, fundamentally, that is awesome. And we need to release people from just thinking, because God speaks to me in a different way from another person, or in a or slightly different way from where how we see it right now, that God's not speaking at all. So my wife, Anna, she's actually very prophetic. And a few years back, not in Mosaic, our lad, she woke up in the night and she with this terrible foreboding about the youth leader. And she just said, I don't know what it is. It's just something really, really wrong. And we didn't really know what to do with it, to be honest, because you can't throw out accusations like that. But I wish we had acted on it, because 2 weeks later, he ran off with one of the youth, devastating his wife, devastating the youth group. And it's like learning how to use the prophetic gift when it's not quite like any others doesn't mean it shouldn't be used. And I think now I'd have a bit more wisdom. But I'm also in a church situation where I feel, I'm in Martin's church and Martin could handle that. Like it'd freak him out, but... Pastorally, we could work out a way to kind of love that person and give it in a loving way. Because something I've noticed as well is sometimes God gives you a diagnosis, doesn't he? So the diagnosis for a prophetic, you know, could be, I'll give you an example from someone else. So I've forgotten his name now, but he's a real prophetic guy in the States. And he was ministering to a group of elders, And there was a lead elder, and he saw one of the other elders with a massive knife stabbing him in the back. That's what he saw. So he could have just said, I have this picture of you stabbing you in the back. And it would have blown the eldership apart. And he said, God is calling you to love you and to lay down your life. And in an instant, it changed the dynamic, because he burst into tears, the one that was the stabbing, because he felt thoroughly convicted, because he knew what was in his heart. But he'd been dealt with such love and grace, the way Jesus would, that it brought reconciliation. And in this story, those two then went on to have the most amazing and profound ministry together. And this is where being clumsy, all could be lost in the delivery, or all could be gained. It can be high stakes. But we really trust God to support us in that journey. So I encourage people to trust him beyond everything, allow him to be at your teacher, but also like lean on others. Like Martin, actually, he's like my prophetic buddy, and Anna, my wife as well. Like, I quite often talk about things that God's saying to me, because I'm open to them just saying, not sure, yeah. Because, you know, who am I to say that I get it right all the time? It's like, no. Who am I right to have the maturity to serve everybody quite the way I'd love to see them served? So I would also recommend that, I'm going to do time check, that we use good practice. So there's some really simple good practice. Like, it's recognize that it's difficult to prophesy from a place of knowledge with sincerity. So I just try and keep my head down, not look at anything, not be involved in politics or kind of anything that's going on, because I want to be able to serve people really well. So like this morning, I've looked at none of the content this morning, because I didn't want, and I haven't really listened to anything and didn't want to be involved. Not because I'm missing my mission or anything, but I knew I had something to share. I didn't want to be influenced by it. And it's not that you can't, because sometimes that's unavoidable, isn't it? You just know about a situation, and God just calls you to come with something prophetic into a situation, and you know. And it's just harder. But again, you can trust God to give you the grace. I find I need to commit time. And that's really hard. I'm struggling with time at the moment. My life is bonkers busy. And I find I have to avoid kryptonites. So if you're not familiar with krypton, it's what Superman could not stand. But all of us have things that they're not sinful, they're just not helpful. So I find, for me, certain things which have really intense imagery are not really helpful for me. And I have to really, or things that kind of are a bit sort of mind-bending, like on some bits of sci-fi or something like that, I can't touch them. And if I do, I find it really difficult. And, you know, God helps kind of flush me out after that, but I just have to avoid it. And, you know, if you've got to learn those things that are just not helpful. Kind of the other thing is to prophesy according to your faith. So, you know, if I go into a situation where some child has died and I say, I prophesy they're going to come back to life, it's possibly an overreach in terms of my faith, which, you know, and you see that quite often actually in church where there's an overreach. It's wishful thinking, not prophesying according to your faith. But that said, it's like, be proactive in your faith journey, because, you know, in my life, there's been some pushes and there's been some pulls. So in the pushes, you know, I saw my granddad when I was sort of 10 or 12, miraculously healed. I mean, miraculously, all his organs had shut down. And then we prayed at church and all his organs started again. When I was a child at the age of 7, we had no money and we thought we were going to lose the house, and we prayed and somebody put £100 in our bank account every month until my father got a promotion. And we never knew who that was. It just appeared every month. And, you know, how that builds your faith. But I've also had my fair share of troubles. I think Martin's walked through a fair of those. You know, I've had family problems, really serious family problems, actually, in my wider family and in my immediate family, where, which have times I felt nearly broken me. And I've had problems with health where, you know, a few years ago, I nearly died because I just stopped breathing. I had a seizure and I stopped breathing. I've had problems with my business, even like a few weeks ago. The business that I work for was on the verge of bankruptcy. And in 24 hours, God suddenly made us investable against all the odds and completely changed the trajectory of our company. And it's through all these trials, though, that I've seen the goodness of God. And so I've learned to embrace the trials because they build the faith, actually, even sometimes a bit more than perhaps the miracles. Because I know that God's grace and God's love is unrelenting. And so when I see somebody, I know that God is going to be unrelenting in his goodness to them and his faithfulness. So cherish your faith journey, because it nurtures your ability to serve others in prophecy. And sometimes even write it down, because we forget, don't we, the goodness of God. And I think, you can do that personally. You can always do it as a church as well. I think, you know, we have a church timeline. We did this on this and this. But there's this, you know, beautiful church sort of thing of where there were promises and prophecies and promises and prophecies, and God fulfilled his word. And we went through difficulties and trials. And as people move in and out of church, like any healthy church, it's good to keep that journey that this church has gone through. Not because we want to be sort of how great we are, but just for us to remember that God is so faithful and God is true to his word. And so when the next word comes through, we know that it's yes and amen. And then we heard this morning, sort of my last point, about encouraging character. And I think this is a really important aspect. And I'm not talking necessarily about sin, because we all sin, we're all the same in that, and we need grace. I think there is a limit of sincerity around that, isn't there? But be open as somebody who's giving prophetic words. You need to be secure and grounded. Be open to feedback. Don't be insecure when people ask questions like, I don't understand, or why did you say this? But try and help them. And the maybe thing is, I don't really know, but I'm going to pray and ask God if he can help. Be devoted to God, not to the gift. It's like, I battle that sometimes. It's like, am I making time for God because I need to hear from him? Or am I just making time for God because I want, because he's God? And that can be a real battle sometimes, because I have a busy life, and then, you know, people are asking me to serve, and then it becomes all a little bit blurry. Be shy, actually. Although the gift is, there is the kind of gift in the prophet, actually. I always want to leave people with a memory of meeting God and not me. And I cringe when somebody says, oh, Ian gave this prophetic word. I'd much rather it be, there was a prophetic word. I absolutely cringe. Because it's not that I don't want to be associated with it and don't want to be accountable for it, which is not the case. But I want people to connect with God and to do business with God. And I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to insert my character and my own personage into the kind of conversation and complicate things. And I would just encourage people to pray for that, to be anonymous. And so those are really a quick walkthrough and summary of the things that I have found really helpful in order to kind of prophesy like Jesus in a very, that's a grand title. I think what, and I don't know how much time we've got left, Bernie.
Well, we're 5 past 12, but are we supposed to finish up the
past? We've got 10 minutes. So I would like to spend this time in prayer, actually, and a bit of a commissioning prayer. Is there anybody in the room that has kind of like leadership responsibility in their churches at all? Yeah. So that is one category I want to pray for you guys in helping raise up the prophetic in your churches in this beautiful culture, and helping to people who might be struggling to really flourish in the gift. So maybe if you stood up, is that, if you don't mind doing that, and then I can just pray. If you're okay to do that, it'd be really great. Father, I just want to pray for these amazing men and women that are serving in a church in a leadership capacity, that have a heart for the prophetic and to see it flourish. Maybe not, but Father, I pray that you'd help them to raise up the prophetic gift at all times, in every way. To distribute it wide and not just narrow. To encourage it in all its forms, according to your will and pleasure. To bring grace into the gift, to center people in your love, to help them to ask questions and have a dialogue with you. To create an atmosphere which is gentle and nurturing to the gift so that it builds up the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you do that by your Holy Spirit. Amen. And then the second group of people is, I don't know, actually, I'd like to pray for people that have been a bit burnt with the gift as well. So where sometimes you haven't been heard or you've messed up or you felt you've messed up. And so you've lost confidence in the gift. And I'm not going to make you stand up. You'll be glad to know. But I'm going to just pray if that's you. Because I just want you to know that God's got you. And to go again. Father, I just pray... for those in this room that have got burnt when trying to be obedient to what you've put on their heart, that you would come and heal up that hurt and bring confidence, that you would put people around them that are there to hear. And we'll nurture them, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would free them right now. And Father, I just pray by the Holy Spirit that you would reignite that gift from that little spark, and that you'd just release them in Jesus' name into the gift of the prophetic right now, and that you would give them boldness to go again. In your name, amen. Amen. Bernie, there's one more, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
Tell me.
I can't remember what you said.
I had it all laid out. I think it's like the last group was actually, you know, it's really about as all moving forward. And so I think it could be the broadest group, which is none of us have made it to prophesying like Jesus and won't ever do, but we're all on a journey. So the last would be kind of, maybe we can just pray to that God will take us on the journey down the unexplored paths in the prophetic. And we would see it become the radical middle and profound gift that it should be. So, Father, I just pray this all-encompassing prayer for everybody here and for the people out there as well, Lord, that you would take us on this unexplored journey that is ahead of us, to press in to the depth and the breadth of this gift that you talk about for 3 chapters and more in the Bible, that you obviously see as really important as an equipping gift in the church. And Father, I just pray that you would take us all on that journey, that you would be our teacher, that you would start talking to us and helping us go down the path that you have called us to do, that we would be obedient in that, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray that you would just release a fresh anointing in this room, in the prophetic, and a fresh boldness, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Great. Thank you, Ian. Well done. Good to have you with us.